Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
LAS Studios.
Another storm, a cold one, has moved into Southern California, but it's not predicted to be as strong as recent ones. Concealed carry applications and firearm safety trainings increase in some of California's most liberal counties. And a still grieving mother asks for help in solving her son's murder 15 years ago.
So I'm pleading to the community to take a stand for justice.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 29th. I'm Suzanne Watley, and you're listening to the LA Report from LAist 89.3 and LAist.com. Here's what's happening. Southern California is getting steady light to moderate showers this morning. Then it'll pick back up this evening. There's also a chance of thunderstorms tonight, continuing through tomorrow afternoon. Meteorologist Dave Bruno has more on what mountain residents and drivers can expect tomorrow.
The snow will fall at much lower levels, probably down to 5,000, 4,500 feet, maybe even lower than that. But the real heavy accumulations are going to be above 5,000 feet.
The low snow level could bring an inch of snow to major mountain passes, including the I-5 along the Grapevine. Showers will linger into the early afternoon tomorrow, and then it'll be dry this weekend. Bruno, though, says there's early indication of another weaker storm system for next week. For the first time in 3 years, the Metropolitan Water District has started to fill the Diamond Valley Lake Reservoir near Hemet. Recently, the wholesale water supplier lifted its restrictions on outdoor watering, but state officials caution the drought is not officially over. Say you're a renter with a leaky roof. What can you do? Javier Beltran with the Housing Rights Center says you need to formalize a repair request with your landlord in writing. But if that does not work, he says you still have options.
For people living in the city of LA, you can go directly to the housing department and file a complaint in person, although you might have to set up an appointment. If it's outside the city of LA, look at your local city's housing or code enforcement agencies, and most of them will have one or the other.
Beltran says that you can also deduct the repairs yourself from your rent, but that's only after you formalize a repair request and send a cost estimate notice. He recommends legal assistance to go through that process. The Queen Mary reopens to the public this Saturday after a three-year renovation. The ship underwent $5 million in critical repairs, which include replacing the ship's elevators and restrooms and upgrading the plumbing and parking. However, the work isn't done. The city estimates that the aging ocean liner needs an estimated $23 million worth of work to keep it from potentially sinking. Tickets are still available for Saturday's reopening. A new analysis from the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters shows large demographic gaps in electric car ownership in California. These gaps highlight the enormous task the state faces as it works toward its ban on the sales of new gasoline-powered vehicles. CalMatters environment reporter Nadia Lopez has more.
We use DMV and census data to look for patterns in who owns electric cars. Wealthier counties, mostly in the Silicon Valley and coastal Los Angeles, are hotspots. But EVs are rare in zip codes that are primarily low-income, Latino, Black, and rural. For instance, in the Silicon Valley town of Atherton, one of the richest places in the U.S., 14% of cars are electric. But zip codes in low-income places like Fresno and Tulare County and parts of L.A. have close to zero EVs. High price tags, a lack of chargers for renters, and too few public chargers in rural areas are keeping people from buying EVs. Vehicles account for nearly half of all greenhouse gases here, so the state's efforts to fight climate change and air pollution depend on making EVs more affordable and accessible. In San Francisco, I'm Nadia Lopez.
Concealed carry applications and firearm safety trainings are on the rise across some of California's most liberal counties. Reporter Ben Christopher has more.
Last summer, a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a California law that gave local law enforcement officials broad discretion over who gets a concealed carry permit. In places across the Bay Area, including San Francisco and Santa Clara County, and in liberal coastal enclaves like Santa Barbara, law enforcement officials were much more hesitant to grant concealed carry permits. Now that those rules are relaxed, applications from gun owners are pouring in. Sheriff's offices say they're overwhelmed, with application rates across the Bay Area increasing from 10 to 100-fold. Most of these applications are still awaiting approval, and while gun violence researchers say it's hard to say exactly what this will mean for California, they point to research that shows that when states relax their concealed carry laws, gun violence tends to increase.
Ben Christopher reports for Cal Matters. L.A. County authorities are trying anew to find whoever killed two young men. It was 15 years ago when Cliff Hibbert Jr. and Kenneth Patterson were fatally shot in South L.A. Hibbert's mother, Donna Brown, joined the district attorney at a news conference as the case receives new scrutiny.
So I'm pleading to the community to take a stand for justice. Justice for Cliff, justice for your community, for your loved ones, because it takes a village to keep your community safe.
Hibbert was just 2 weeks away from graduating from Cal State Northridge. The DA says his office is highlighting these cases to develop new leads and bring awareness to the thousands of homicides that remain unsolved throughout L.A. County. California's crisis support centers want to better serve Native Americans in need, but right now fewer than 1% of calls to the 988 crisis hotline are from Native people. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter Kate Wolf has more.
California has the largest number of American Indian and Alaska Native people in the U.S., up to 1.4 million when counting people of mixed race. The group has the second highest rate of suicide in the state, behind white people. Virginia Hendrick directs the California Consortium for Urban Indian Health. She says Native people may not be calling 988 because of cultural differences in how they express feelings of distress.
Many of us have a cultural belief that once you speak about something, you're speaking life into it. You speak power into it.
Assemblymember James Ramos believes many Native people experience psychological pain related to historical trauma, and counselors must be aware of that.
Having the infrastructure is important because we need to know when someone calls that they're reaching out and talking to somebody that they can relate to.
Ramos supports creating a 988 option for Native callers to be linked with Native volunteers. That model is already in place in Washington State. For the California Report, I'm Kate Wolf.
The Dodgers are unveiling a major upgrade to their stadium's lighting system just in time for opening day tomorrow night. Management replaced the stadium field lights with an LED system to improve visibility for both players and fans while minimizing glare around the stadium. And that might include the goose that made an unexpected visit during the final home game last fall. Thanks for listening to the LA Report. I'm Suzanne Whatley. The LA Report is hosted by me, Suzanne Whatley, and produced by Michael Cosentino with assistance from Tyler Wayne. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. Our engineer is Brandon Bowles. Check back here at 4 for the PM edition. You can read more at LAist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. And this podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
Studios.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.